Hi, I'm Dr. Caroline Leaf, and welcome to my podcast, Cleaning Up the Mental Mess. Your mind and meals are so intertwined that what you are thinking about before, during, and after eating affects the 75 to 100 trillion cells of your brain and your body. Eating, in fact, is a highly emotional and cognitive event, and in today's podcast, I'm going to explain how your mindset will determine the nutritional benefit you gain from your meals, with lots of tips and how to improve your mental health with meals. So join me and let's dive in. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the mindset behind the meal. And you'll see there's a resource added tonight. There's a whole little PDF with a bunch of my favorite recipes and the things that I love to cook and love to cook with my family. Because one of the big things that is so important about eating is eating to stay alive, but eating as a community event. Since the beginning of time, meals have been shared as a way of connecting, communicating, bonding, celebrating. I mean, we know this. This is not something we don't know. And yet we are in an era of technology where people just eating in front of the TV, not talking and communicating, whole families doing that. Sitting there at the table with your cell phone, which, by the way, there's research showing that if your cell phone is near you on the table, it basically can affect your digestion and assimilation of nutrients. So, you know, try and remove all cell phones from the table while you're eating and just take that time just to enjoy the meal and enjoy being with each other, because that shifts your psychoneurobiology in such a way that your ability to assimilate the nutrients is improved vastly. It's like you open a bunch of doors to let that good stuff in and to let the bad stuff out. And so that's really where, when I talk about the mindset behind the meal, it's vitally important. Now, just because we can't touch the mind, you know, from following me and doing the neurocycle and all that kind of, you know, all of the podcasts and so on, the mind is real. The mind drives everything, and including meals, including the way our bodies assimilate those meals. So the mindset behind the meal is tonight's discussion. As I said, there's a great resource with a bunch of recipes. I'd love you to try them out and let me know how they turned out and send us some photos on Facebook and Instagram, and we'll share them. And also, if you have some great recipes that you'd love to share, please share them with us. So, and share something, not just the recipe, share who you made the food with and maybe a little bit about just the interaction that happened and your experience of enjoying the interaction while you were making, cooking the meal or whatever. As you all know, over holidays and things like that, it's so great to get together with family and over weekends. And I grew up in a home where every Sunday there was always a big other barbecue, which we called a braai in South Africa. So any South Africans following me, you know all about braais. Or my mom would do a big roast and we would always have friends around or family around, or it was always like a big deal. And so that's something that we've tried to keep going with our family as well, to have the big roast, but now the big meals on a Sunday or whatever. But now my kids all grown up, and so they visit. So when they do visit, and I've always got one of them visiting, got four kids, two married, and that we always make a big deal out of meals. Make a big deal out of meals. And over December, we had the family with us, and my one son-in-law, he loves to cook and loves to bake. And he would wake up in the morning to these absolutely delicious smells. And he'd got up at like 6 in the morning and gone to Target and gone to buy more baking supplies baking whatever, because I'm in our home in Miami at the moment. And I don't have all my stuff that I have in my home in Dallas. And so he stocked up my kitchen with all the things that you would need to make pasta and to make bread and to make all these muffins. And he had all these fantastic recipes, favorite ones from my childhood. So he went to the trouble, Jay went to the trouble of finding what he knew was very special to me and my family from our childhood and from South Africa. And we made things like South African fudge and South African crunchies. And we made Christmas mince pies, which is a traditional British thing with like fruit mince in this little really nice sort of short crust pastry. And but just the whole, it was so much fun just waking up to these smells and then planning that, eating it, of course, and then planning the day and then going for lots of walks and things in between so we could make room to eat more food, and in between playing games. But the camaraderie and the joy and the and the love and the fun, and you know, it was just so, so great. So, you know, that's a massive part of the mindset behind the meal is, you know, what was happening on a psychoneurobiological level as we as a family experience this, and as you have experienced this with your family and your friends, and as you make the effort to, you know, to spend that time, even in the busyness of our weeks and the challenges of life and running around doing a million things, just to try and to take at least one, to make a point of having at least one meal where you sit down together, where you make that meal, hopefully together, lay the table, sit down, even if it's short, but to just share that time together. And what's so important about that time together is, you know, try and not talk about things that, you know, are contentious, or, you know, politics, religion, you know, problematic relationships or whatever. Try and talk about fun things, you know, talk about interesting things. This doesn't always have to be stuff that you're going to laugh at, but, you know, laughter is really great for digestion. So, you know, funny things, sharing anecdotes, tuning into each other, you know, saying, using that time of the day to say, how was your day? How, and really listening, not saying, how was your day? And then kind of thinking about your own day or going on your phone while they're answering you, but really tuning in, looking at that family member or friend in the eye and just asking, how was your day, your child, your husband, your wife, whatever, and asking them how their day was and letting them answer and having this back and forth and really being interested in, you know, asking questions like, how did that make you feel? And that's so interesting. And seeing where the conversation flows, but genuinely connecting and reaching out. And you don't have to do this for hours. It's not quantity, it's quality. But that mindset of going into the meal with the objective of having a fun discussion or having bonding time together, putting all the problems aside for a moment and just enjoying the meal and enjoying each other is so unbelievably healthy. And I'm going to give you some real science in a moment, right down to the level of cells and subatomic particles and the enteric nervous system, and not too complicated. You can go read about this in my books. I've got a book, Think and Eat Yourself Smart. And, you know, I've got podcasts on this as well. You can re-listen to this. But just for you to know, you don't have to remember all the detail of what I'm going to share, but just the impact of making the effort to enjoy your meals is so great. And then I'll end off with a few tips as well.
We all need more mental and physical energy in our lives to not only do the things we need to do, but also to make more time for the things and people we love. This is why I love the High Performance Energy Shot Ketone IQ. It has no sugar or caffeine, is FDA and WADA compliant, and all you have to do is take one dose daily in the morning to support your energy levels and cognition, and 2 to 3 doses before workouts for better performance and recovery. After its first release in 2017, Ketone IQ fueled 60% of the teams on the Tour de France and landed a $6 million contract with the US Special Operations Command. It was that good. In fact, a network of universities are currently using this product to fuel research on neurodegenerative diseases, TBI, glucose management, and longevity. Now made more affordable and accessible, Ketone IQ, which taps into nature's superfuel, can help you stay more focused throughout the day, ready to take on any challenge. I love that it also comes with free US shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. I personally love taking Ketone IQ in the morning before I start work, especially when I'm traveling and dealing with time differences and super busy schedules. It's a great part of my daily mind management routine and can be part of yours too. No wonder pro athletes like Des Linden, Michael Andrews, and Ironman world champion Sam Ladlow use Ketone IQ for optimal performance. And for a limited time only, you can save 30% off your first subscription order of Ketone IQ at hvmn.com/Dr. Leaf. That's hvmn.com/Dr. Leaf. That's 30% off your first subscription order of Ketone IQ at hvmn.com/Dr. Leaf. The link and details will be in the show notes.
Okay, so lots of things to share. So, you know, when you sometimes say that you to your stomach, or you've got butterflies in your stomach, or you've got like this, got that gut feeling, or, well, that is your body is responding to what you are experiencing with your mind, which is this whole psychoneurobiological impact that we talk about in the Neurocycle and in my podcast. But tonight I want to focus specifically on the, you know, the, the areas of the body and related to eating and the mindset behind the eating. So first thing is that the mindset that you go into the meal with is going to set up your psychoneurobiology. So it's going to set up your mind-brain-body connection. It's going to set up your cells of your digestive system. It's going to set up your cells that form your systems, that form your, you know, that form your organs, that form your system. So the digestive system is made up of a lot of different organs, and those organs are made up of a lot of different cells, and the cells are made up of things and inside the cells, and the cell, those things inside the cells are made up of smaller things, subatomic particles. And the thing that keeps that whole thing working is energy. And that energy is not something weird. It's basically electromagnetic and gravitational fields quantum energy, which quantum means energy, packets of energy, electromagnetic energy, and so on. All of that is what's keeping your entire body functioning. And your mind is driving that physiology side, that whole, the energy that actually keeps the digestive system working. Your mind is driving that. And also your mind is driving how every other system in your body works. So not only when you're eating, it's not only your digestive system that's involved, but your heart is involved. Your immune system is involved. Your every single system of your body is involved, because every single part of your body needs nutrition. So it's all lining up and saying, hey, you know, like, just let's get the right energy into this brain and body and into these cells so that the cells can get what they need in order to be able to function. So it's a body-wide process. But I'm going to spend in the initial part of our talk talking about the gut-brain connection, the enteric nervous system. And we're learning so much more about it in the last few years. And there's so much interesting information on that. So basically, as I've said, the mind is a key factor. And mind and meals, before I dive into the detail, mind and meals are so intertwined that what you are thinking about before, during, and after your meal is affecting all 75 to 100 trillion of your cells that make up your brain and your body, as well as the energy of your mind that is driving physiology, the neurophysiology, and the mental part of your functioning. So it's a very intertwined state, it's an intertwined thing. Eating is a highly emotional and highly cognitive event. It's a very thinking event. Your state of mind totally and utterly drives and affects your digestive health, your immune health, your cardiovascular health, and all your other systems. So our gastrointestinal tract, which is our GI system, is extremely sensitive to our emotions. The rest of the body is as well, but I'm going to focus predominantly on the GI system, the gastrointestinal tract, which is from your mouth all the way through to when the food is passed, the fiber of the food is passed out of your body. So it's very sensitive to our emotions, because our emotions are warning signals. Those emotions are behaviors or how we show up. It's your GI system is very sensitive to the four signals that we gather awareness of, because those four signals are being, your mind is what is evaluating and those four signals. And then that's feeding back into the mind, because there's a total feedback loop. Also, the way you're coming in, the actual energy that you come into that meal with, is also affecting your GI system. It's kind of activating it, priming it. Okay. If you are very worked up, highly emotional, your GI system is going to actually close up. And giving you an analogy, it's kind of like going to close down a little bit, because your body, if you're in that state, the message is, okay, we're not going to eat now. We're going to survive now. So you're going to have a different reaction. Your GI system will do a certain thing. Your heart will do a certain thing. Your hypothalamic pituitary axis will do a certain thing. And they're each going to do, but it's going to go towards survival, not digestion. So if you're in a highly emotional state, that includes the negative ones, although, you know, the most dangerous in terms of digestion. But if you're really, really excited as well, it's a good idea to just, you know, get yourself to a slightly calmer state before you actually eat. So it's, and it doesn't mean that you can't be fun and happy of you eating. I already just said that that's great to do. But if you're like, oh, this amazing thing happened, and then you start eating, you might find that you're shoveling in the food too quickly and you're getting indigestion, or you're just not chewing it properly. And, you know, chewing food is important, and, you know, making sure that you can, you know, not eat it too fast and all that kind of thing is important. But especially the negative emotions, If you've just had an argument with someone, or if you are very upset about something, that doesn't mean you might be upset for hours, days. So you know, you don't want to not eat, but it is to try and get yourself for those few moments where you are eating into another state. So if you are highly emotional, very upset, or something's very upsetting that's happening in your life and you know, it's going on over more than a few hours, you do need to get nutrition into you. So I'm not going to tell you not to eat in that situation. But I'm going to suggest that if you can just give yourself some mental space where you can actually try and not to think about the situation and try and eat something, even if there's something that's highly digestible, something that's really easy that will give you an immediate boost of nutrition. So that's extremely important to make sure you get nutrition in stressful times, but to try and get yourself into that mental space where you just for a moment, going to just for a moment move out of this mental space. And I'm just going to focus on eating, the mechanics of eating. It could be just, let me make myself a salad, and the mechanics of putting in the lettuce in the bowl and chopping up the tomatoes and the cucumber and whatever else it is that you're going to put on, or maybe you're making kale salad, whatever it is that you're making. But the actual, you know, just, you can say, okay, what kind of salad do I want to make? What are the ingredients? And verbalize that out loud. I need lettuce. I need tomatoes. I need pepper juice. I need whatever. And I need that bowl, and I need this. And I'm going to use that chopping board, and I'm going to use that knife. And I mean, when I'm cooking, this is such a silly side thing, but I love pink. If you haven't really noticed, I have a pink fridge, pink trash can, everything. I even have pink cutting boards, and I have a favorite pink knife. I mean, you don't have to do this, but really for me, it's, I'll get out the pink knife, the pink chopping board, and I'll use all those pretty things, which just creates an environment for me that makes that a whole process so enjoyable, and that is preparing my body then to absorb and assimilate and digest the nutrients. So maybe it's putting some great music on, maybe it's having, you know, having people with you in the kitchen while you're chatting and so on. But to come back to when you're in a very upset state, by very almost mechanistically itemizing what I'm going to do, what I'm going to cook, how I'm going to cut this up with this knife, and this, and narrate what you're doing, and then sit down, try and sit down. Try not stand, sit down, sit down where you are in a 90-degree angle, and then so you can digest more effectively, and then, you know, eat that food as much as you possibly can. When you're very upset, there can be a very strong nausea reaction, and it can be very difficult to digest that food. And that's why I'm saying that to help with nausea and things like that as well, this kind of exercise that I've just described is very helpful. Okay, So let's dive in a little deeper to the GI tract. The GI tract also directly connected to a part of your brain called the hypothalamus, which is deep down inside the middle of your brain. And I like to refer to the hypothalamus as the chemical factory of the brain, because it secretes our emotions, influence it to release chemicals into the rest of the brain and the body for all the different functions, whether it's digestion, whatever, all the things that are going on in your body all the time. So the hypothalamus is very, very sensitive to our emotional state. So our mind drives the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus doesn't drive the mind. Remember, our brain is driven by the mind and response. So the hypothalamus responds to your state of mind. And if you're in that highly emotional state, your hypothalamus will secrete, just to make this as simple as possible, the wrong quantities of and in the wrong ratio and proportion of the necessary neuropeptides and neurochemicals and neurotransmitters and things that we need for the whole digestion process to take place, as well as to keep the other parts of the body working and so on as well. So you have that gets impacted, and then that starts to create a little bit of neurochemical chaos inside of you. So the hypothalamus is very sensitive. It's like a chemical factory. It controls, it also is very responsible for controlling our feelings of satiety. In other words, when you're full, and of hunger. And so it stimulates, you know, tells you when you're full, tells you when you're not full, and is very, very, very responsive to your emotions. And so mindset and secretes the chemicals in accordance with. So mind and gut are so interconnected, as I've been saying, so intimately interconnected. And things like happiness, joy, pleasure, as well as anxiety, anger, stress, frustration, irritation, bitterness, for example, trigger physical reactions in our digestive system and in fact all of our systems. So let's go down a little deeper. In our digestive system, we have our small and our large intestine, and they're very densely lined with nerve cells. So the nerve cells that are in the brain, you find your gut is also lined with those nerve cells, also with neuropeptides, which are certain types of chemicals that flow, and also have little receptors all the way through, which are little doorways. And so there's a rapid exchange of information between the mind, the brain, and the gut. It's happening really fast, firing along the nerve cells into the gut. And also the mind is not, it's not just only the brain down, but it is also the mind goes across the whole body. So there's an immediate feedback as well. So we've for many years it was spoken about that it's always top down, but that isn't actually how our mind and body works. It is that mind is around all of us. So it encompasses the mindset, and the energy from the mindset will be pushed through the entire brain and body. And there will be a feedback from this exchange of information will move all around and in and up and down. So it's not just down from the brain down. Okay. And then there's this constant feedback this way, this way, this way, all happening. So that's why all the systems of the body get involved in this process. So there's a rapid exchange. It's really, really fast. And you know, that is why very often when we talk about our gurgling stomachs and sick to the stomach, it's because of this very rapid exchange of information carried by the neuropeptides, the neurotransmitters, the nerve cells, the little receptors, the memory that we're going to talk about in a moment inside cells. All of that exchange of information is happening. So another thing that happens is when we, as part of our digestive system, is that the pancreas, which is down here, secretes neuropeptides that are very important for the assimilation of nutrients. So you eat food and it gets broken down and then into nutrients, and then they've got to be assimilated into your cells. And the pancreas plays a role in secreting 20 very important neuropeptides for this assimilation. So when we have a negative mindset, those neuropeptides don't get secreted properly. Maybe the wrong amount, maybe too many, maybe the wrong proportion, maybe the wrong time. Biochemistry is very complicated and everything works together. It's not pancreas works in isolation. It works in conjunction with the rest of the gut, with the receptor cells that are exchanging information, the transfer of information back, forth, around, etc. And so that whole cycle gets thrown off. And if you don't have sufficient neuropeptides being released, you're not going to have the full assimilation of nutrients. So therefore, your body's not going to get what it needs. And that creates this whole neurochemical chaos. And that can give you that gurgly tummy and that gut ache and that feeling of being sick to your stomach and so on. So that it's in terms of the neuropeptides not being secreted by the pancreas. That's really relevant because, you know, you could be eating a really super healthy, great, fantastic meal, and you know, have your family around you and you know, doing all the right, all pieces are in place, but your mind is just all over the place in that moment. And your gut brain to action, the neuropeptides in the pancreas, all these things are going to start going wrong. And then that can affect your ability to digest food. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I'm pretty certain you have. You could be eating something that you know doesn't affect you because we've all got, you know, our bio-individuality of certain things we can and can't eat. Like, for example, I cannot eat nuts, mushrooms, garlic and onions. And like, those are staple things in most meals. And when I eat them, I get really sick. So I know that when I don't eat them, I won't get sick. But I know that if I'm worked up, I will, one of the first things if I eat when I'm worked up or I'm worried about something is I will get the most excruciating gut ache. And because it's not related to the food, because I'm extremely careful about food that I eat. I mean, to a certain, you can't control everything, obviously, in restaurants and so on, but I'm very aware. And so I know that if I've prepared a meal, for example, I know that I know the restaurants and I know that there's none of those ingredients in food, and I do get a I know it's very fast. And I know then that's something that something's unresolved. And it may not be with the immediate people with me. It may be something that's just been worrying me that I just haven't dealt with. So I listen to that. I will actually make the time to actually think, okay, this is a signal. It's my body telling me. I'm going to gather awareness of it. I'm going to, you know, why did I suddenly get this? What's happened in this last few days? And I'll do a neurocycle and I'll try and see, you know, is this a pattern? Is this just one off? Did I have a little bit of a sore stomach yesterday? And that kind of thing. So just as eating when you're angry or trying to bury another unpleasant emotion will affect the way we assimilate nutrients in our food, eating when you're not hungry will upset our digestive system too. So, you know, that's, so if you're not hungry and you eat, that can also upset things. That's why we need our hypothalamus working properly to tell us, hey, you're hungry, it's time to eat now. And then you'll eat what your body needs when it needs it, so we don't confuse signals. So our body's this beautiful, brilliant machine ready to be driven by the mind. And when we have the whole psychoneurobiology operating and we are getting our mind under control, our hypothalamus will send out the right instructions. So if we eat when we're not hungry, and sometimes we will, sometimes you just, you know, you're not hungry, but that cake, you just have to have a piece of cake, delicious piece of chocolate. But I mean, that's going to keep bringing you joy. So that's good for you. Okay. There, I gave you permission to enjoy that piece of cake or whatever, because there's something special. So I'm not saying all the time, you know, nothing needs to become these rules that control you. I'm giving you general advice. Okay. Really important. Honestly, the joy that you're going to get out of having that piece of birthday cake with your best friend is, or sharing, sitting and having, you know, some nice chocolate, watching a movie with your loved ones. That's great. You may not be hungry because you had dinner, but you know what? That's not going to mess things up, because the joy of the experiences is really great. Okay. So it's really important that we remember that our mental state, our mindset, how we're managing our mind, and mind is embodied. It's all over us, embrained and embodied. How that's been managed is going to impact how this is all working. So if we, for example, let's dive a little, let me give you an analogy first before I dive deep into the sort of technical side of scientific side. Emotionally driven food consumption literally adds a flood of chemical and emotional seasonings to the food, to our digestive system. And then our digestive system, like our palate, will get confused. So just think of times when you've made something, you've been experimenting, and you put in all these spices or whatever, herbs and things, but you don't do it well. You just put everything in, and it's just like, ugh, you taste it, and your palate's confused. And that's kind of what it's like, that over-seasoning is what happens. That's a good analogy for us to understand what happens when we're eating with too many high emotions, where the energy is going kind of crazy. So when we are reacting to the events and circumstances of life, we're going to move from good stress into toxic stress. And the minute we move into toxic stress, that signals from the hypothalamus to the pituitary to the adrenals and then through the rest of the body. But it's kind of simultaneous, and the digestive system, that you are in a state of stress. And then that's going to be very difficult to digest food at that point. That's where that you can get, you know, the sore tummy, the bloating, all that kind of stuff. So that puts you into fight and flight. Response, and that will actually inhibit the gastrointestinal secretion. So our GI tract secretes all kinds of things, mucus and various different things in that line that help the probiotics and so on to work in your gut. And they keep the little cilia inside the internal in the gut working properly. So when we are stressed out and we're not managing our mind, and I'm not talking about you've got to be in perfect mind management, a perfect mind state to be able to eat, because none of us are ever there. But it's the fact that you're working on it, that's enough, okay? So you may not have resolved that relationship issue when you sit down to eat, but you know you're working on it. That's the difference. Just not working on it at all creates the toxic, pushes you into toxic stress and will reduce the amount of the secretions from the gastrointestinal lining. And it'll also reduce blood flow. And then that decreases the metabolism. Okay. So here we have this unresolved issue. You're not even trying to work on it. We're just letting it explode in our mind. And it's all over our brain and our body. We've got this whole thing going, network, everything activated, toxic stress, hypothalamus is confused. Everything's confused. And now in addition to that, we have reduced gastrointestinal secretions, reduced blood flow. And that's now going to affect metabolism, your ability to metabolize that food, which comes after breaking it down and the various different nutrients being secreted from, for example, the pancreas to help you assimilate it. And then it goes into your cells and metabolism occurs. So that metabolism will be affected. And then that affects our body's ability to digest food. And so, I mean, this is just one system. I'm not going to go into the heart and immune system and so on, just in terms of time, but some other time I can do that. So in fact, let me just tell you some of the things that toxic, unmanaged thinking and emotions or mindsets, which lead us into this toxic stress state, some of the things that it does, besides reducing the secretions of the intestinal lining and reducing blood flow. It causes inflammation. So these chaotic chemicals in the hypothalamus and all these things that I've described, inflammation will increase. Where there's inflammation, there's more susceptibility to infection, decreases nutrient absorption and enzymatic output. So we need nutrients for cells to work, to be able to produce enzymes, to be able to produce energy for life. Okay, and that's going to be less. So you're going to have less energy. Your metabolism is going to slow down. It upsets the regenerative capacity of gastrointestinal mucosa and mucosal blood flow. So the lining of the gut has mucous membranes, and they get damaged with constant undealt with issues and a toxic mindset. And over time, you know, if it's just a little bit, it's going to be okay. But if it's a consistent pattern, that's why I keep saying we need a neurocycle, so that when you're neurocycling, not only are you doing all these other great things, but you are actually making sure that your mucosa of your gut are not getting damaged, and that your blood flow there is sufficient, and your metabolism can do what it's supposed to do, and you're getting the right nutrient absorption, and your pancreas is secreting these peptides and all these things that I've been telling you. Your intestinal microflora, which is your probiotics and things, those things get messed up. You can even cause your esophagus to go into spasms. I mean, these are just a few things. This can make us feel nauseous, cause existing digestive issues such as stomach ulcers to worsen. You know, so when you start feeling, you know, how many times have you said or know someone or experienced like this gut ache and then nausea when something happened? Just feel like, oh, I feel so nauseous. That's because the mind experience has whooshed through this entire body and set all these things in motion. And then that creates the increased inflammation, reduced blood flow, reduced mucosal secretions. All these things will create an environment where one of the responses can be to feel nausea, diarrhea, constipation, extreme bloating, irritable bowel syndrome, that kind of stuff. And this is why a lot of treatment for irritable bowel syndrome is to work on your mind, your neurocycling. We've had so many testimonies, including my own, where I used to live with irritable bowel syndrome all the time. I literally never have it any. And it's taken quite a few years to really get it under control, but I really have it this home in my own mind, really learning these things I'm sharing with you tonight. Okay, so these undealt with things can agitate our colon in such a way, and agitate the different parts of our body in such a way that it really can affect us. Now we talked about like the system. Let's talk a little bit more about the cells of the body. And we have 75 to 100 trillion cells in our body. And I'm going to keep this as simple as possible, but it's quite fascinating because every single cell of your body, not just your brain, every cell of your body retains memory. Okay, memories cluster together, as I've told you many times, to form thoughts. And these thoughts with the embedded memories, as we know in the brain, they're stored in these tree-like structures, which are the dendrites on top of the neurons. And those are cells. And these cells have got a cytoskeleton, like our body has a skeleton that keeps us able to be firm and not sloppy. Every cell that you have has a little skeleton that we call a cytoskeleton. And in that cytoskeleton, there are like little microchips. And this is through the brain and the body. And those little microchips, as we know, microchips store thousands of bits of information on a microchip. And those microchips are inside the cytoskeleton, and that's where your memories are. And the more memories you make, the more the dendrites grow and all that kind of stuff, which I'll go into more detail another time, and I have spoken about before. But in terms of mind affecting body, right down to the cellular level, we've got these microchips storing memory. So we have undealt with stuff that's sitting there. In the cell membrane, there's also these very special microchips, which are also storing memory. And then in the DNA of the nucleus of the cell, there's also memory. In fact, the DNA is like an iCloud, where it has got memories from the past, your past, and generations going back. And that's all related to the concept of epigenetics as well. And so we've got our history in this iCloud in our DNA, and we've got these little microchips storing this information, and we've got the cell, and that's throughout the cells. And the dendrites are only in the brain, but the microchips are in brain cells as well as body cells. We call them soma cells. And so we have all these different types of memory all clustered together of all of our experiences. And when they're being managed, then those little microchips get healthy. And when they're not being managed, or they constantly are suppressed and whatever, those microchips get damaged. And, you know, I heard someone saying something on watching a movie series about how their brain felt like they were octopuses all over the place, their arms flailing, octopus arms flailing all over the place. What a great analogy. When our mind is a mess, you've got all these, the dendrites are like these flailing octopus. And in our body, we're getting these, you know, the microtubules, the little microchips that are in the cytoskeleton. If it all jiggled in our brain, we're going to have these like little octopus, little legs moving all over the place. And that creates disruption and disruption in our energy and particularly feeling in our stomach, butterflies in our stomach and disrupting the functionality of the digestive system, because those cells with that memory of those toxic things, cells group to form organs group to form systems, and systems, digestive system, cardiovascular system, immune system, these are what make the body work. And so right down to the cellular level, we've got all these memories. And this is why the neurocycling is just so important, because it's a lifestyle of how you can self-regulate and be in a constant state of learning to be empowered to manage yourself. Because as I said, I'm not expecting you to sit down. It's crazy. In a perfect mood every time you eat, but the attempt to sit down and come into that meal with an attitude of a level of peace, or even if you say to yourself, okay, this thing has upset me so much, I'm so exhausted from this issue or whatever, but I'm now going to put it aside. I'm going to compartmentalize it, and I'm going to go into this meal, and I'm going to just, even if I don't smile much, I know I'm going to come back and deal with that. And you tell yourself that, because in that sets up your whole mindset and your psychoneurobiology to accommodate that. And then you move into that meal, and then you can at least benefit from it, not have all this chaotic octopi all over the place in your body. I can just see the visuals of all these little crazy octopi arms. I don't know, what is the plural octopi? Little arms flailing all over the place.
Do you have trouble recalling names, dates, or where you left things? Are you finding it difficult to focus during the day or notice yourself zoning out when you're trying to complete a task? Wouldn't it be nice to feel clear-minded and energized? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should listen to this. BioOptimizers has created a one-of-a-kind product called Mushroom Breakthrough that can support your brain power. It's packed with highly concentrated mushroom extracts that science shows can enhance memory, focus, processing speed, and more. Just one serving contains 5 potent superfoods, collagen, and 1.2 pounds of 4 concentrated mushrooms, including lion's mane, reishi, cordyceps, and chaga. This cutting-edge blend is a powerful way to help support your brain health and rewire it for maximum energy, focus, and performance. And with Mushroom Breakthrough, you'll get a hefty dose of antioxidants for immune support. On top of these incredible benefits, it's also delicious. It tastes like a rich chocolate elixir. I love having it at night as an alternative to hot chocolate. It's really delicious. Simply mix it with water or milk and enjoy. Or for a more potent blend, you can mix with your morning coffee to transform it into a delicious mood-boosting mocha. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, go to biooptimizers.com/Dr. Leaf and use the code DrLeaf10 during checkout. And the great thing about BioOptimizers is that you can take it risk-free with their 365-day money-back guarantee. So head on over to biooptimizers.com/Dr. Leaf and use the breakthrough code DrLeaf10 for your special mushroom breakthrough offer. The link and details will be in the show notes.
Okay, so to say we should not eat food when you are stressed, unhappy, or angry, or any other negative emotion is most certainly not an understatement. Yet good thinking. Just as an aside, you can't just think good thoughts and excuse an unhealthy diet. Okay. So you can't think, oh, okay, I've had someone say this to me, that's why I put this point in. Oh, well, then that means that then I can just eat what I want and think happy thoughts and my body will just use it. Well, it doesn't quite work like that, because we do need decent fuel in order to function. As we know, there's so much about eating healthy that I'm not going to go into that. All that advice I'm going to give you is that you need to understand your own bio-individuality. So what works for you is not necessarily going to work for everyone else. So be careful of fad diets, be careful of trends, be careful of moves. I've even made that mistake of getting caught up in those. Rather find your own trend, your own, what you need, what works for you. So for example, I cannot juice. I'm not saying it's bad, I can't do it. If I try and juice and drink juices, I am going to get the worst gut ache out. bloated and uncomfortable and actually very lethargic. So it just doesn't work for my body. So when people are told you must juice every day, and I've had friends that have told me that, I just smile sweetly and say, well, I'm so glad you enjoy your juicing, but it just doesn't work for me. So I'll do something else. You know, so it's to find what works for you is really the best advice I can give you when it comes to what should you eat. And personally, I believe it's important. And this is not, it's unfortunate that organic, sustainable, farm to table, clean food is not always available to everyone. It's so unfortunate. It's often too expensive and that's just wrong. And I know there's a lot of moves around the world to change that. And so the more that we support, you know, local farms and things like that, I think that's really important as well. And obviously realistic, you know, if you, there's many areas that are in poverty and they only have access to food that is not the healthiest of food. And your body, if that's all you've got, that's what your body will have to make do with. And that's not the greatest thing. So we need to make, you know, we need to help with that as well. We need to make a plan to be able to, if we are privileged, to be able to help others as well. So basically another thing is talking about coming back to the neurochemicals. I don't know if you're aware of this, but 95% of serotonin and half of the dopamine in the body is produced in your gut and then in the rest in your brain. So, you know, that's not, and we know serotonin is very involved in calming mood. It's also very involved in learning and neuroplasticity. So when we think about neuroplasticity, we think of brain, but it's not just brain. Neuroplasticity is the entire body constantly changing. So we talk about neuroplasticity, but your neurons are throughout your body and your whole body's changing all the time. So serotonin is a huge component of keeping us calm and also a huge component of learning and neuroplasticity and growing and optimizing your function and so on. Dopamine helps us to focus. So, and research has shown that if we eat with the wrong mindset, if we're eating foods that aren't giving us enough nutrition, we can suppress the serotonin and dopamine in the gut. And then that doesn't get to the rest of the body like it should. Okay. So you also get, you've got gut bacteria. I mean, we all know gut bacteria are great and probiotics are really important and your gut bacteria play a massive role. But they also play a, I don't know if you're aware of it, they, gut bacteria produce a benzodiazepine-like substance. So it's a natural anti-anxiety type substance, which is naturally occurring inside of your body. So when you're working on your mind with things like the neurocycle, working on your mindset, you allow those natural anti-anxiety things to start to flow. So you'll have more serotonin, more dopamine, more of these natural anti-anxiety neurochemicals being allowed to flow through your body. Your hypothalamus is working more effectively. So as we learn to manage our mind and read our body and brain, which is what I'm trying to teach you, and all these different gather, you know, the neurocycle, we are helping to put our body right down to the cellular level into an ideal state. So a healthy gut, a healthy cardiovascular system, a healthy immune system is based very much on a mind that is being managed, because we are always a work in progress, as we know. Just an interesting thing that is that people that battle with irritable bowel syndrome, it's very linked to REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement sleep, where we dream. So when one is battling with, if your mind, because when you sleep, your mind is sorting out what has happened during the day and linking it with the past and the future and preparing for the next day. So dreams are a way of sorting that out. So when you have a lot of unsorted out stuff that's not sorted out, or just chaos, that's just not, we don't maybe sleep enough, or so we'll have these very, what they call pizza dreams, where your mind is trying to digest the food and your gut's not working like it should. And the more messed up, the more you go to bed with a messed up mind or unresolved issues, even if they're not all solved, but that you've acknowledged them, the more you can affect your quality of your REM sleep. And then that can in turn affects your digestive, or your digestive system, and is working with your sleep cycle. And the increased rapid eye movement sleep is linked to the poor digestion, which is linked to the mind. So when we get our mind right, we can help with that as well and get better sleep, which is really important. Okay. So the tips. Eat together where possible. Here are a few tips. Eat together where possible. I do understand that not everyone has someone that they can eat with, but if you're at work, maybe you can find a colleague to eat with at school, sit with a friend. at home where possible. If you live alone, maybe you can invite friends around on the weekend, or maybe you can plan to eat, you know, one of your meals at work when you're with people. I know so many people work from home now, so there's so much isolation, which we know is directly linked to cardiovascular issues as well as digestive issues, because, you know, we're not meant to be alone. This is where communities are so important. Maybe you can join a community, a local community of some sort, a group, a mountain climbing or whatever, a cooking group, or find a group in your area that you can maybe connect with and do meals with. Maybe you can start a book club or something and you can make a meal out of that as well. A meal, literally making a meal together, and everyone brings something and you eat together, even if it's once a week. So eating together where possible. The community aspect is absolutely fantastic, which I've already spoken about in terms of planning, cooking, what it's doing with generating, activating that dopamine in the gut and that serotonin and those natural anti-anxiety neurochemicals. And it also stimulates what we call anandamide, which is another one that makes you feel blissful and happy. So those are the chemical side. On a memory side, the little microchips in the dendrites in the brain and the different parts of the body, those heal up. They actually start healing when we have these community meals, when we eat in the way that I've been describing. So we're creating healing. We are neuroplastic. We are plastic. So as we manage our mind, we are managing our brain. And this is slow over time. But we know that when people are recovering from trauma and recovering from addiction and recovering from whatever, that being together and having that meal together and having that love surrounding that, that's pouring this healthy energy between people, and that's helping to heal the body. So have at least one meal together. And I, as Matt, my husband, we make an effort to have them most meals together, but some days we get super busy, especially lunch times, because things, you know, different work schedules, but we really try and do breakfast together, but at least we'll do dinner together and then more over weekends. And then one thing that I do, which I found absolutely invaluable, it took me a full neurocycle to get myself to do this, was to not eat while I'm working. So when at breakfast, I have my breakfast and coffee. Matt is great. He brings me breakfast in bed every day. I just have to tell you that, okay? So I get breakfast on a tray in bed every day, all these amazing different things. And that's when I normally will either read my research, because I love my research, or I read one of my fiction books. And I eat my breakfast and then I start working, get up and get the day going. And then at lunchtime, when I take a break, I'll stop with my coffee, with my lunch, definitely the coffee. And I'll actually read, even if it's 10 minutes that I only eat. So I don't do hard graft work and eat at the same time. I make eating enjoyable. So I've trained myself. I'm looking forward to eating. That's when I'm going to read another chapter of my book or whatever. So try that. Don't eat when you're stressed, angry, or highly stimulated. Calm down first. And then be strict about, oh, by the way, I even do it when I'm having coffee, and I drink a lot of coffee. So I will have my coffee, and that's my excuse. I've always got my book. And even if I read 5 minutes, if it takes me 3 minutes to drink that coffee, I will read a few pages. Be strict about conversations you have. Tip number one, eating together where possible. Tip number two, have at least one meal together a day if you can. And my third tip was, when I eat or drink coffee, I don't work. I take, even if it's 5 minutes, I will do something nice, like read my book, stare at the sun, or play with my pets or something. Don't eat when you're stressed. Fourth tip, don't eat when you're stressed, angry, highly stimulated. Calm down first. Remember what I said the other related to that. If you're very upset for a period of time because there's something big going on, is to be very mechanistic about, you've got to get food in to do the whole narrating what you're going to cook. So the narration and the doing will give you some mental space and relaxation, not relaxation as much as mental space to just recoup and regenerate and get that nutrition. And then you can, you know, face the next leg of what you're facing. Be strict with conversations that you have over meals. Keep contentious stuff another time. Learn about your bioindividuality, what food and way of eating works for you, rather than following trends. Remember, all systems of the body are influenced by the mind, not just the gut. And remember, all systems, which are made of, systems are made of organs, organs are made of cells, and cells have got stuff inside. And right down to that level, your mindset is influencing this entire digestive system. Have fun eating. Shift to a fun mindset. Well, I hope that's helped you. I enjoy this topic, as you've probably noticed, but anything about the mind-brain connection is something I enjoy. And once again, congratulations to those of you that have done the 63 days with me. Carry on. Maybe you're going to do a next, maybe your next neurocycle will be to actually train your mind to, or change how you've been doing your eating. And that would be a great thing. So share your feedback with me, and I look forward to it. And I look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye, everyone. Thanks for joining me. Don't forget to share these neuro, tell everyone to watch these neuro lives and jump on with us and watch out for all the next challenges that we're going to be running as well. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye. I hope you found today's podcast interesting and helpful. If you want more tips and help with managing anxiety, depression, and mental health, be sure to visit my website at drleaf.com and to sign up for my weekly newsletter, where I also include a schedule of my speaking events and so much more. And follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just look for Dr. Caroline Leaf. Also, I love seeing all your posts on social media about this podcast. I love seeing what resonates with you and what you've learned. So be sure to continue posting and tagging me and letting me know what you think and how these tips worked out for you. And don't forget, leave a review and keep spreading the word about this podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I really hope you learned something new and helpful. Till then, I'm Dr. Caroline Leaf. This podcast represents the opinions of myself and my guests. The content here should not be taken as medical advice. The content here is for educational and informational purposes only. Please consult your healthcare professional for any individual medical questions you may have. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we are sharing is accurate, we welcome any comments, suggestions, or corrections of errors.